Hello, everyone. Welcome to Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. I'm your host, Pete Costanis. This is Season 2, Episode 32. And we have a fun-filled show today. And this program is brought to you by Child World Toy Store. And here is a classic TV commercial from 1980.
Child World, let's take a look and see.
On sale this week, The Generals, Ideal's electronic battle game, just $23.88. Holly Hobby Bake Oven from Coleco, the electronic oven that actually bakes, sale price $14.99. Fiddlesticks, the giant toy builder set from Knickerbocker, only $16.97. And as Peter Panda says, it's so nice to know that prices are low and shopping is friendly and fun.
Child World, everything a toy store should be.
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're gonna love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
Alrighty, I am back. I hope you enjoyed that commercial of Child World. Excuse me, Child World Toyster. Forgive me for coughing so much. My throat is dry. I don't even started talking. So that's very strange. Anyway, I will talk about Child World Toy Store. Also, I'll be talking about the Best of Groucho, which is from the television quiz show "You Bet Your Life," that hosted by Groucho Marx. And then next we will talk about Montgomery Ward, and last we will talk about the Willowbrook Ballroom and Banquets that was located in Willow Springs, Illinois. So first we will talk about Child World. Child World was a very, very memorable place. Excuse me. And one of the toy stores that a lot of people remember back in the day, and the others were Children's Bargain Town, USA, which later turned into Toys R Us. And there was another one called Circus World, and that wasn't in business very long. I don't know much about that place. I will look into it and maybe discuss it in a future episode. And I think there was another toy store called Toys by Ritzy, and I'll look into that one too. So maybe I'll have a toy store episode in a future episode. Anyway, Child World was founded in Quincy, Massachusetts in 1962. And it came to Chicago probably in the late 70s. What I remember from this toy store, it was located at Ford City Shopping Center at Ford City in Chicago, in the neighborhood where I used to grow up with. And I only went there maybe once to apply for a job. I didn't get the job, so that was there at Fort City probably about a few years, probably to almost to the 80s. What's memorable about it is their mascot. And the mascot, the original mascot of Child World was a cartoon rabbit. His name was Happy Rabbit, and he sported the words, "I'm happy" on his t-shirt. Excuse me. He was later replaced by another cartoon. It was a panda bear called Peter Panda. And he was depicted wearing overalls with his name printed on him. And then the mascot was portrayed by a live person. And you would see him on the commercials. And you would find those commercials on YouTube. And so a lot of people, like I said before, they remember the toy store through the commercials and shopping there. They had wonderful selections. Electronics came into vogue in the 80s, like Atari, probably Nintendo, Sega. I remember I bought the first Atari console, but, you know, I don't really remember where I bought it. I have to ask my brother because he's the one who bought it. So when I talk to him next weekend, I will ask him. And then in, let's see, They were in other locations. One was in Forest Park, and I think one on the north side, like Fullerton Avenue, probably around the DePaul area. And an interesting thing about Child Word, there was a place in Forest Park at the mall that was used for the 1986 movie The Color of Money that starred Tom Cruise and Paul Newman. That was the sequel to The Hustler. And Tom Cruise's character worked as a clerk at the toy store. And that's where Paul Newman met him. So I've only seen the movie once a long time ago. So if I watch it again, I'll keep a sharp eye for that, for the Child World store. I don't know if people remember that. So that's kind of interesting. Okay. The next thing I would talk about is The Best of Groucho. Now, that was a syndicated show that was syndicated around in the mid-70s. And the first time I saw it was about, like I said, in the mid-70s when I was in grade school. And it aired late at night, sometimes at 10:30 or at 11, usually 10:30 or 11. It keeps switching. I remember the lineup of the shows that aired when it says Best of Groucho. There was Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman. They debuted in 1976. And then, excuse me. That was, the other show was Night Gallery, Dark Shadows. And I remember, Night Gallery aired at 10 o'clock. And sometimes they aired the, it was an hour long, but it was syndicated, and they trimmed it to, half an hour. They edited it, they butchered it. I talked about it on an earlier podcast, and I wrote a story about it on my blog, vanishedchicagoland.blog. And the lineup was 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock was Night Gallery. I think Mary Hartman was at 10:30, and then You Bet Your Life was at 11, and Dark Shadows was on 11:30. When Dark Shadows went off the air on Channel 32, they all aired on WFLD TV Channel 32. Excuse me, I forgot to mention that. Dark Shadows aired about maybe a couple years, and then they yanked it for some reason. I don't know. I forgot why. And then Night Gallery took over, and then You Bet Your Life went to 10:30. And I watched that every night. I loved it right before I went to bed. That was a great lineup to what, and that's the first time I saw You Bet Your Life, and it was called The Best of Groucho. And they didn't play every episode for the show because, like I said, it was The Best of Groucho. So, the show started on radio in 1947. And it was on radio, simultaneously on radio and television. And then it debuted on TV in 1950. I want to see the date on that, so I don't know. Yeah. And then, October 4th, 1950, it debuted, which is October 4th is my birthday. And it ended at, in 1961. That's when, and then, let's see. So, the show ended in June 29th, 1961. I don't think they showed reruns in the 60s. I think they came later. And then, when I saw it the first time, like I said, when I saw it the first time in the 70s, I was amazed by Groucho Marx. He was still the funniest man I ever saw. I love his movies with his brothers. I used to watch them on WGN Channel 9 on New Year's Eve. It was a tradition. They would show the classics, Duck Soup, A Night at the Opera, Animal Crackers, Horse Feathers, Go West, and I remember A Night in Casablanca, and there were other wonderful ones. Oh, At the Circus. I can't think of all of them. Anyway, when Groucho was the perfect host. He was, sometimes he was serious, when they talked to the contestants, excuse me. But then he would say, he would say some jokes, and he would ad-lib. Some were very risque. So, you know, but you wouldn't catch that. But a few years ago, I bought two volumes of The Best of Groucho, You Bet Your Life, on DVD. And I watched them twice, all of them, and they were wonderful. And they had how they originally aired with the commercials. And he sponsored the DeSoto cars. I don't know when they were stopped. I don't know when they ceased production on those cars. And then, so on Channel 32, I watched the show, and they had, you know, there was a quiz, and he asked questions. And then, well, first they pick a subject, and then before the show, they would introduce the word of the day, or I forgot what it was called. And then they would, a secret word, excuse me, that's it, the secret word of the show. And then a duck would drop, and the word would be around his mouth. And the funniest thing is when one of the contestants mentioned the word, and then you hear a horn, like you were at the racetrack, and then the duck would drop. And then, we'll say we're, and they each won maybe $50 each, which is very nice. It didn't happen every show. So you never know when what the contestants would say. And sometimes they didn't use a duck. Sometimes they use a beautiful lady. And one time they used Harpo Marx, Groucho's brother. I don't know if Chico was on the show. I think Chico was on the show. Maybe he was. I don't remember. But I know Harpo was. And that was fun. And he was funny. He was so mischievous. So I enjoyed watching the show. I still do. I wish it was back in reruns. But so if a contestant didn't answer the questions, you know, then they would be eliminated from the game. But Groucho felt sorry for him, and he didn't want them going home empty-handed. So he would read an easy question, and so they would answer. And the most famous question they ask, who was buried in Grant's tomb? They would answer General Grant. And then when did the War of 1812 started? Or how long do you cook a 3-minute egg? You know, those kinds of things. So that was very, you know, that was very courteous of him to do that sort of thing. That was very nice. So, and here is an intro of the syndicated series that aired on Channel 32. So I will play it now, and that brings me and other people wonderful memories. So here it is. Okay, I'm back now. I hope you enjoyed the introduction of Vesta Groucho. I'll mention a couple more things about it. There were some famous celebrities that appeared on the game show, and I won't read all of them, but I'll just read a couple of them that you do recognize. And there was Phyllis Diller. That was her TV debut. There was Ray Bradbury, the author, and another author, William Peter Blatty, who wrote The Exorcist, and there were others, and the most famous remark that Groucho ever did was a woman, and she had 20 children, and that's what urban legend was told. And then And Groucho asked her, why you chose to raise such a large family? And her name was Charlotte Story. And Mrs. Story replied, I love my husband. And then Groucho said, I love my cigar, but I take it out of my mouth once in a while. That was funny. So I don't think they aired it in syndication, but it is, I believe it's on the DVD. It is there. Okay. So that was fun to discuss. And now I will talk about Montgomery Ward, the department store. And oh, that was a famous store, very famous store. A funny thing about it, every time I post a, let's see, Montgomery Ward on my Facebook page on Vanished Chicagoland, people would say Monkey Wards. And so, you know, I always hear about that. And maybe people say that because the fact was, excuse me, that there was a store in Dallas. They used to have monkeys in the back of the store. And that's probably where the nickname came. And then all the people in Chicago said that too. So I guess that's true. Maybe it's not. I think maybe it's another reason for that. I remember there was one store called Litton's. It was a clothing store, and they had monkeys on display in the windows. I don't know which ones. I think one in Evergreen Park and probably downtown. Probably. I don't know. I'll talk about Litton's in another episode. Anyway, so Montgomery Ward, it was founded in 1872. That was a long time ago. I'm amazed by that. And it operated between 1872 and 2001. And it is still in business, but it's an online retailer. So if you go online, you can browse and you can purchase things, which is very nice. I haven't done that. I'd like to check it out. I don't know what sort of items they have on sale. I don't know if they have clothing or appliances. We'll see. So my recollections of Montgomery Ward was, I remember it was located at Fort City Shopping Center. They opened around, I think, 75, 76, around there. And it was a huge store. I remember I applied there when I was in high school. Didn't get the job there. But when we lived in our neighborhood, my mother shopped there all the time. She loved it. She loved that store. And she's told me the clothes were nice, they were wonderful. They had wonderful appliances. They had everything there. And they opened downtown, which I remember, on State Street around Adams. And I think before that, it was the Fair Department Store. I could be wrong. I think it was that. And the Fair Department Store was there for quite a while. Probably the early 20th century, and a lot of people still remember that that department store, the Fair Department Store. They had the creaky floors and wonderful Christmas displays, which I've been told. An interesting thing about Montgomery Ward was, there was a copywriter named Robert L. May. And in 1939, he created the character Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And wrote the poem. I think he did. So in 1946, they distributed 6 million copies of the poem as a storybook. And then in 1951, the singer Gene Autry sang the song. And that song, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And that song is still played on the radio at Christmas time every year. And it's still well-known and well-remembered and well-loved. So that's an interesting, and the anime series that debuted in 1964, that is still airing on television every year. And I love it. And, you know, I'm surprised it's still on TV. You know, sometimes they don't play much, Christmas specials like from the 60s and 70s, but you know, it's a year-long tradition. It's edited as usual. So if you could buy the DVD, you get the full show on that. And Montgomery Ward, I don't know when it closed in Chicago, probably, you know, on State Street, probably in the 80s or 90s. And then, so that didn't last long. And like I said, it folded in 2001, and it's now an online retailer. So they also had a section called Electric Avenue, which is interesting. I remember the commercials, and I remember shopping times by, you know, Electric Avenue. They had the VCRs, the camcorders, video games. It was there for probably computers, you know, like Apple computers, not like the Apple computers we have now. You know, they're more advanced and they do everything. So here is a commercial from early 1990s of Montgomery Ward's, and I hope you enjoy it. So here it is.
We've changed our aisles. We've changed our styles. We've changed our lines. We've changed our signs. We've changed displays and we've changed our ways. Yeah, things are changing at Montgomery Ward. Things are changing at Montgomery Ward.
Okay, I'm back. I hope you enjoyed that commercial for Montgomery Ward. Very catchy tune. It's still in my head. And the next thing I would talk about very briefly was the Willowbrook Ballroom and Banquets. And a lot of people from the Southwest Side, South Side, the suburbs remember that place fondly. And that place was located at 8900 South Archer Avenue, Willow Springs. It was founded in 1921. And the man's name was John Verderbar and named O. Henry Park. And they said there was a legend that it was the last place where Resurrection Mary danced, you know, before her death. And she danced in the ballroom and people would see her ghost at the cemetery nearby, right near that. So that was interesting. Just an interesting story. And it was, they see her ghost at the Resurrection Cemetery on Archer Avenue in Justice. It's right near a Greek church, Holy Cross, which I go there sometimes. And I will talk about her, you know, on a future episode because I find this interesting, you know, because people still talk about that. And the place was very popular at the time. And so they had, it was a beautiful ballroom, you know, it lasted for years and years. And they had some entertainment, wonderful popular bands during the 30s and the 40s. They had, like, for example, you know, Ozzie Nelson, he hosted Here Come the Nelsons, the TV show with his wife, Harriet. And he was a band leader and she was a singer and they did perform at the Willowbrook Ballroom. The others in the 1940s was Harry James, Les Brown, Count Basie, and singers. For example, like Frank Sinatra, Doris Day, Helen O'Connell. There was Guy Lombardo, Sammy Kaye, Jimmy Dorsey. Oh, the Glenn Miller Orchestra. Wonderful, wonderful music, wonderful people. So it was first called the complex was called Old Henry Complex, but they renamed it the Willowbrook Ballroom about 1959. And in the 60s, they brought record crowds because of the ballroom. But, you know, music changed and people changed. Not people changed, but music changed, times changed. And then a lot of people didn't take up ballroom. I think they had lessons taught there, which would be interesting because, you know, ballroom dancing is a beautiful form of entertainment, you know, very elegant, very tranquil, you know, very nice. I don't know if people still do that. I don't know about people my age or younger. I doubt it. And so that was a very nice place. And unfortunately, the Willowbrook Ballroom was destroyed by a fire. I think it was there was a fire before. I don't know when it happened. You know, well, if I find it, I'll let you know. So in 2016, there was a fire, and this one was a biggie. And they tried to rebuild it, but they couldn't raise enough money. So they decided to forget about it. And right now the site is going to be built condominiums and townhomes. So I think it's still empty. I think, believe it is. I don't know. Maybe I'll take a drive down there and take a look. And well, that's a shame. Here we go. In 1930, there was a first fire there, and it was destroyed. And so they rebuilt it. So that was touched by twice by fire. And I remember when I went to Bogan High School, people mentioned the Willowbrook Ballroom, and the classes before my class, they held their dances there, junior proms, senior proms, the Key Club dance, and any venue, any event they had it there, and they loved the place. And I've heard the food was wonderful over there. They had a wonderful menu. So it's a shame that it's gone. It really is. Okay. That'll be all for our show today. I hope you enjoy it. Kind of exhausted talking, forgive me for coughing so much. My throat is dry. It always does that when I talk a lot, even before I start talking. So that'll be it for episode 32, season 2 of Vanished Chicagoland Stories, the podcast. And I'm your host, Pete Costanis. I hope you can join me for my next episode, probably this weekend. And I won't disappoint you. We'll have some wonderful topics to talk about. So again, hope to see you soon. This is bye-bye for me. And here is Ray Rayner saying bye-bye for now. Take care and so long.
We have to go. Bye-bye-bye.